Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I am your radio host, George Runyon, and I am so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial cost. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. I'll try to get that in at the end of the broadcast, too. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson, developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're focusing on the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught. In the name of Jesus, we just come, Lord, before your throne of grace, boldly, that we, your people, might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And as we say on a regular basis, Father, we are needy. We need your help. We need you to guide us, to instruct us, and to empower us. We pray for that today as we study your word. We thank you, Father, for your day-by-day presence in our lives. We give you the glory, we give you the praise, in Jesus' name. And as Americans, as we celebrate our 250th year of establishment, we recognize, Lord, the part you had in it. As our founders laid a foundation in the Word of God and integrated that into the founding documents of this nation. Lord, bring us back into focus and into alignment with your purpose and your plan as a people. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the question today is, how are you building, on sand or on a rock? Matthew 7:24. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built a house on the rock." You can't even imagine building on sand, but many build their lives on sand, and that's what Jesus is addressing. And who is that rock? That rock is Christ Jesus. So building is an ethical issue. God is a builder. From the time he spun off the universes to building a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against, if we find ourselves going through life without purpose or productivity, the Bible considers it to be unethical. The book of Proverbs speaks of two kinds of men, those who are building on solid ground and those that are carelessly drifting along, whose lives are headed for destruction. Jesus teaches it is in the hearing and acting on the words that one receives wisdom. Too many of God's people go week after week hearing God's word, but not applying what was taught. We must choose to act upon what is biblically taught. By not acting upon God's word, one is being unethical. In fact, one is building on sand. And this will prove to be unwise and devastating. One example is found in Christian marriages that are in trouble. Many go for counseling, but they do not act upon the word given to them. Thus, nothing changes, and many times the marriage relationship becomes worse or ends in divorce. The Holy Spirit is waiting for believers to act upon the word of God. As we act upon the word given, he, the Holy Spirit, goes into action to help us understand and apply God's word in our life situation. The net result becomes wisdom to build a life which becomes more and more Christ-centered. In our lesson beginning in Matthew 5, we read of Jesus speaking of those who will be blessed through their action. We learned of being salt and light in the world. We learned of righteousness that exceeded that of the religious leaders of Jesus' day. We also learn in Matthew 5 of the correct relationships that begin in the heart, as well as the outward actions that follow. We learn how our forgiving others releases God to forgive us. We also have learned the correct response concerning money, anxiety, and seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness with others. In turn, the same way we will be judged. And so that we finally learn in the way we judge others, in turn, is the same way we will be judged. Furthermore, we should ask and expect to receive the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is bringing forth a good tree that produces good fruit. So let the Sermon on the Mount become a well-known portion of Scripture for you. Allow the Holy Spirit to build into you, your life, these principles in an ever-deepening way. These chapters reveal the laws of the kingdom, chapter 5 through 7 here that we're studying. They're the laws of the kingdom of God, which guide the newborn of God's Spirit. The new creation man is instructed how to live through these laws that Jesus is giving. It's not legalism, but it is principles. Pray daily for the Father to give to you His plans for building, and ask the Holy Spirit to empower you in application. That should be our prayer every day, whether in the home or whether in the community or whether at work. We should be seeking the Holy Spirit for the wisdom of God in how we work and how we labor and how we live our life. So we pray daily for the Father to give to us plans for building, and asking the Holy Spirit to empower our application. So Father, right now we just say thank you. Thank you, Father, for these clear instructions that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving to us here in this portion of Scripture. May we, your people, learn how to make application of your word in our daily practice, our daily life, our daily experiences, Father. Forgive us, O God, for if we're just a Sunday-going person and we fail to seek your face during the week and see the word of God established in us in how we live our life and how we build as your men and women, as a new creation person in Jesus' name. Thank you for that, Lord. I want to just say one more thing after that prayer and say the church is not the kingdom. It is the carrier of the kingdom of God. That the kingdom is in each believer by the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his apostles, told his disciples, the kingdom is within you. Don't go looking here, don't go looking there for the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. See, they really didn't get it. Even after they saw Jesus, after he was raised up from the dead, and he was ministering to them and gave them a clear word. They wanted to know, now, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? See, they thought the kingdom was in the nation of Israel, and that's how the nations would be defeated. No, Jesus said the kingdom's going to be in you as a person, and you will, with others, be the nation of God, is what we see unfold in the New Testament. The nation of God is not a natural nation. It is a nation that is created by the Spirit of the Lord, by the living stones that are in that nation. So the Bible says that we are made living stones, that we're carrying into life the things of the kingdom of God. They're in us. And so we need to understand this principle in our own lives. And so it's by what God's intention is that we would be self-governing. In other words, you don't need a pastor standing over you. You don't need people making sure you do this or do that. You need guidance. You need instruction. You need help. But God expects you to take the principles of His Word and make application in your everyday life by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do it alone. You do it in His power, That's how Jesus lived his life. He gave up his heavenly position and came to earth and was fully dependent and reliant on the Holy Spirit. Even though he was God in body form, he was dependent upon the Spirit of God in him as a human being to live the life he lived all the way to the cross. And he trusted on the cross that the Holy Spirit would come and raise him from the dead, and that he would be given back into the earth in life, in resurrected life. And that's our hope too, as we look to the future, is that we're raised up with Christ and living with Christ even now. But our hope is that there's coming a day when these bodies cease to be in here for us to live through, that God is going to raise our bodies up in the resurrection, and that new creation man is going to be lived out in a whole different way than we've ever known and ever experienced. And that's coming. But I want us to see today, it's in the now that God wants us to learn how to live this kingdom life in today's world, in today's circumstances, in today's situation. The world is looking for the sons of God, Romans tells us. It's crying. It's really being stretched. There's a groaning going on in the earth that wants to see the manifestation of the sons of God. The earth is groaning to see what God has promised. And you're part of that promise, and I'm part of that promise. So I want you to understand this, that the goal of our founding fathers as we celebrate, as we just had July 4th, and as we're celebrating this 250th year of the United States, we need to go back and understand what the fathers, our founding fathers, were moved by. They were moved to give us a nation that was built upon the foundation of God's word, the foundation of the ethics of the kingdom of God. They had a kingdom perspective. They didn't want church as usual. They weren't going to allow a church like England had to dominate. And there were a number of denominations in those days that wanted to be the Church of the United States. The Congregationalists, the Presbyterians, and the Baptists, and the Episcopalians wanted to be known as the Church of America. And that's when the father said, no, not religion. And when they used the word religion, they weren't talking about Islam. They weren't talking about Hinduism. They weren't talking about the world religions. They were talking about the denominations that the church had broken into. Different church denominations struggling to be the church of this nation. And that's what they were giving us in the legal document. We're not going to have a church. We're going to be founded on Christian principles. And as George Washington said, this Constitution is for a moral people. It's for a people that want to serve God, that want to live for God. It was founded upon Christian principles. The very things that we read about here in the Sermon on the Mount, that was the foundation of this nation, beloved. And the expectation in that was that we would be able to govern ourselves, that I didn't have to have somebody controlling me, that the control would be in the Word of God and as it was defined in the Constitution of the United States. And so that's what they were believing for, and that's what we ought to be practicing in our own lives. We need to study that and come to an understanding of what the intention of our founders were. They had the revelation of the kingdom, beloved. They had experienced church. They had experienced religion in Europe. But this was a new land. This was a new place. They wanted to see the world have something that would revolutionize and change the world for good. And actually, when you study history, this Constitution has affected many nations. And at the same time our revolution was going on, there was another revolution in Europe called the French Revolution. And if you compare the two, the French Revolution was really filled with atheism. It wasn't built upon God. And what a contrast during those years in the 1700s that we could see. And even today, we have a contrast. We have those that want to take us backwards, want to take us not back to the roots of this nation, but want to change this nation and deliver us from being built upon the principles of God's word. That's where the battle is, beloved. We need to understand the battle to be won is going to be won in prayer and in intercession and taking the word of God and applying it in our everyday life. It's not going to be won by Democrat, Republican, positions or parties. It's not going to be won by parties. It's going to be won by people who understand the word of God and what God's intention is in terms of a righteous people in the earth, in the nation, and affecting other nations. So I hope that's helpful as we are celebrating this 250th year. Now, let's go on to this next segment here today. He taught us one as one having authority. Matthew 7:28. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. One of the most amazing aspects of Jesus' ministry was the authority from which he taught. People's amazement is recorded a number of times in the gospel. What good is teaching if it does not have weight behind it? The Holy Spirit is the one who gives weight to the teachings and works of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many in the body of Christ who teach the Bible, but lack the anointing of the Holy Spirit to teach with authority. Consequently, those teachings are delivered as words and opinions and philosophies, if you would. This is what the people in Jesus' time were accustomed to. Words that did not carry heaven's authority. It helps us to understand what Paul meant when he said, "My message, my preaching, were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." 1 Corinthians 2:4. Authority is associated with power. The words of Jesus and the words of Paul were both filled with power because the Holy Spirit anointed their words. The same Holy Spirit is at work in the Lord's church today. He is speaking to many outside the body of Christ, inviting them to become a part of God's family. Many ministers of the gospel do not see converts to the faith because they are not speaking by the power of God found in the Holy Spirit. Many depend on their intellect rather than waiting on the Lord for his guidance. Many simply preach other men's messages rather than waiting on the Lord for his word to be revealed and to them. When the word is preached with power, some are converted. Through the power of God, many find salvation and some receive healing. Others experience judgment because of their rejection of God's provision. All this is the power of God manifested by the Holy Spirit, who is where the kingdom is centered, in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17 tells us that the Spirit is the resident place of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Not manufactured joy, not manufactured righteousness, and not manufactured peace, but righteousness, peace, and joy that's in the Holy Spirit. There are times when God's power is manifested in signs and wonders, things happening outside of the rational, which can only be explained by the power of God. He delights to act in power on behalf of an individual or group of people hearing the word. The Holy Spirit wants to cause your words to be those of authority as you represent the Lord and his purposes. Asking the Holy Spirit for revelation and understanding given by him, and see if your words do not have a divine effect on other people. And so we need to pray on a daily basis, Lord, Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me your understanding, your revelation and understanding of what you want me to do. How do I speak into each situation that I come into? How do I deal with my own family? How do I raise my children? Can I be the most productive at work? How can I be an example of who you are in the way I conduct myself in the community? That's what God wants us to do, beginning to look to him for power and that he could live his life out in and through us. And people will see it. It'll be a contrast. People will look at others and how they do their job. And when they see you doing your job in such a powerful way, that's going to open their hearts to want to know, how do you have such success? How come you are more successful than I am? And it opens the door to be able to share the Lord Jesus Christ with others. And so the Holy Spirit wants your words to be those of authority as you represent the Lord and his purposes. That's not arrogance. That's not forcing. That's not screaming and yelling at people. No, you don't have to scream and yell to have authority in what you say. You just need to hear from God. Oh, I hope this helps us, beloved, as we're considering this way of the kingdom. Asking the Holy Spirit for revelation and understanding that is given by him, and to see our words have a divine effect on other people. I hope this has been as helpful to you today. We're going to shift gears here, and next week we're going to begin to talk about through frustration and pain, we grow and become strong in faith. I want to say, your frustration, your pain is not in vain. You need to seek the Lord and find out how he wants to use that frustration that you experience at time, maybe with other people, maybe in your family, maybe it's at work, and you want to find out from God, what's the purpose of God in all of this? Because God is shaping you. God is forming you into being his son and his daughter, to be his representative in your life, in the people around you. So we need to seek the Lord. And next week we'll delve into that as we look at James, that tells us to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect or mature result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We're going to open that up next week and spend some time talking about that, understanding the trials that we have to face and the joy that God wants to give us in the midst of even persecution and suffering. Oh, wow. As we look at history, we see in the church, there's always been those that have had to suffer for the name of Jesus, for righteousness' sake. And the world is not in a place that it just automatically receives us as the representatives of heaven. But we need to understand that when we've been born again, we've been born into the family of God. We become his sons, his daughters, and we are his representatives in the earth, beginning with our own families, beginning in our communities, beginning with the place that we work, where our life is lived out before other people. We need to understand we are ambassadors of Christ. We are his representatives in the earth. He has chosen to use you and to use me to influence others, to impact other people. And it's through the way we live our life. It's through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's through his Spirit resting upon the words that he allows us to share. I hope this has been helpful to you today. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to be your man, your woman, in representing you in a righteous way in the earth. And so, Father, we pray this week will be a week of revelation and understanding for all your people, how to stand up and represent you well, not in a religious way, but in a transformed way. We thank you for the power of the Spirit to help us, O God. And so as we close today, again, I want to thank you for being with us. If you would like a copy of one of my books, go to our website, www.sdccm.org/shop. Some of the books are there, and there's a application form. Just fill that out and send it to us to the email address, and we'll get that book to you. Our new book is One New Man, One Holy Nation. I really encourage you to get that book. And if you want to do it another way, we'd love you to write us. We'd be happy to help you get the book, but you can go on Amazon and order that book from Amazon. One New Man, One Holy Spirit. It'll open your eyes, I think, in some ways that'll be helpful, and you'll be grateful you got it and read it. It's not a hard read. We tried to make it as simple as possible in the reading, as comfortable as possible. And so I just encourage you to get that book, One New Man, One Holy Spirit. And it is available. We have them. We can send them out to you, or you can just order it from Amazon, whatever suits you. All right? Well, let's walk with Jesus this week, as we say every week. Walk with the King and be a blessing to others. Thank you for being here today. God bless you.